Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen.
And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Everything is possible for one who believes.
Welcome to Faith Matters. All right, it is Faith Matters. We're talking about Dr. David Jeremiah's book, The Great Disappearance.
Yeah,
you might have been wondering, where'd I go there for a second? All right, where'd the screen go? Are we up? Yes, we are. Dr. David Jeremiah's The Great Disappearance. This is Faith Matters. You know, it is for by faith we have been saved. So these episodes are available on Digging Deeper on Rumble and DiggingDeeperTV.com. What we're doing is using the Fair Use Act to go through Dr. David Jeremiah's book, 31 Ways to be Rapture Ready. People are talking about end times these days. And so for the last, I don't know, maybe 100 weeks, we've been doing book reviews.
Yeah.
A lot of different episodes on that. You can catch them all at DiggingDeeper.net. And tonight, tell us about what chapter we're going to be looking into and reading through tonight on the air with the folks.
Tonight we're reading chapter 17, and it's called What's Up with Heaven?
Yeah.
It's kind of an unusual title, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Sounds fun. What's up with heaven?
All right, let me get started here. As far as my staff and I can determine, there is no city, community, or township in America called heaven.
Mm-hmm. But there used to be.
Yes.
The big butt there.
According to the Texas State Historical Association, the little settlement of Heaven, Texas was organized in 1924.
Oh, there really is a heaven?
There was.
Heaven, Texas, yeah. Oh, no more.
It was located near Farm Road 769 in Cochrane County. Other than the name, Heaven's main attraction seems to have been its proximity to the Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe Railroad. Sadly, things did not pan out for the residents of Heaven. The town was caught up in a bitter struggle with its neighbor, Morton, Texas, in 1925.
Hmm.
Both towns wanted to be recognized as the Cochrane County seat. There was an election that year, which was won by rival Morton. Unsatisfied, Heaven contested the results, even insinuating the election had been rigged. Eventually, higher powers officially awarded the county seat to Morton. Soon after, the township of Heaven was abandoned. It's somewhat humorous to imagine a group of people trying to set up their version of heaven on earth. But it does raise a question. What will the real heaven be like? We've spent many pages exploring and seeking to understand the rapture of the church, during which Jesus will escort believers to heaven to live with him forever. We know amazing new experiences are in store for believers in heaven, and we will learn about some of them in this chapter. But what specifically can we expect to encounter there? What will we find? In a word, everything. Everything that is most precious and dear to you and me, everything that is important to Christ followers, is currently in heaven. Everything we need or desire will be found in heaven once we pass through its magnificent gates, either by death or by being caught up with Christ at the rapture. Here are seven examples to show you what I mean. 1. Our real estate is in heaven. Let's begin with the foundational truth about heaven. It's a place. Unlike Heaven, Texas, it currently exists and will always exist. The word heaven is mentioned almost 700 times in the Bible. 33 of the 39 Old Testament books talk about heaven, along with 21 of the 27 books in the New Testament. The word heaven refers to something that is raised up or lofty. So the language of the Bible speaks of heaven as a place that is high, lofty, and lifted up.
In John 14:1-3, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself." Capital M. "That where I am, there you may also be." The Bible refers to heaven as a place, a word that implies a specific literal location. The Greek word used for place is topos, which strictly refers to a geographical area that can be located, a real place. Topos, topographical map. Jesus spoke these words in the upper room on the night before his death. He had just told his disciples that he would die for them on the cross. He explained that he would be buried and resurrected, and that he would return to heaven. They were confused by this and filled with sorrow. Can you blame them? But Jesus told them they should not be troubled. He said, "I go and prepare a place for you." Mm-hmm. How comforting. I'm sure you're going to get killed. The Apostle Paul spoke of Christ as ascending to heaven to sit at God's right hand in the heavenly places in Ephesians 1:20. Jesus does not intend for us to live in a vapory netherland, in a disembodied haze, or in a blissful but intangible state of mind. Sounds fun, huh? No, the Bible refers to heaven as a specific place. So, again, it's not a wow, man, kind of experience.
No ghosts.
And no, like, you know, blissful, intangible states of mind. That was a good description by Dr. J there.
Yeah.
Sometimes the Bible refers to heaven as a country, which implies vastness of territory, right? Sometimes it's referred to as a celestial city, which brings to mind buildings, streets, residents, and activity. Sometimes heaven is referred to as a kingdom, which speaks of organizational and government. Interesting that it's referred to so many different ways, huh?
Yeah, it is.
In the passage that Dr. Jeremiah quoted from John 14:1-3, Jesus referred to heaven as my Father's house. The list goes on and on. He's got some good descriptors here. Maybe he's selling real estate. For me, there's something intimate, sweet, and personal about heaven when we talk about it as my Father's house. It is no longer an empty space. In my mind's eye, I see a home. Jesus promised that if we put our trust in him, he would prepare a place for us in our Father's house that will serve as our heavenly home. There is nothing imaginary, hypothetical, or intangible about that.
Right.
So, number one was our real estate is in heaven. Number two,
our Redeemer is in heaven. Next, our Redeemer is in heaven. Hebrews 9:24 says, "Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." Just imagine the moment we get to heaven and we see Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we don't see him in a visual way.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible says that when Jesus returns for us, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, in 1 John 3:2.
I also remember, just to interject there, and I'm sure he'll probably say this later because he's a much smarter writer than I am, but I remember Corinthians talking about how we'll see dimly as a child, now as in a mirror, but then face to face.
Mm-hmm.
Someday we will, and in a mirror means like him, but not a perfect reflection because it's dim.
Right.
And then eventually we will come face to face with him. So that kind of correlates with what he's talking here, right?
It does. The book of Revelation describes what it will be like in heaven throughout eternity. The throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face.
Mm. So remember that. That's one thing you never see in the Bible, is that anyone who's met God, like Noah, Moses, mm-hmm. They've never actually seen his face.
Right. Think of the joy that will be ours when we get to heaven and see the one who gave his life for us so that we could spend forever with him in paradise.
And of course, to clarify, we've seen Jesus, others, not we, I mean humankind. There are many who saw Jesus.
Yes.
Who is God in the three Trinity.
True.
But as far as seeing God face to face, even the burning bush is an example, the transfiguration is an example, that we never actually come face to face with God until we get to heaven.
Right.
So number three, our relationships are in heaven. I remember a conversation I had with my father toward the end of his life. He was a great man who had developed many relationships, which meant he both attended and presided over more than half his fair share of funerals.
Hmm.
I could have read that out of my own book. I could have said that about my dad. But this is Dr. David Jeremiah talking. He says, "You know, David," he told me, "one of the things about getting old is this. One day you begin to realize you have more friends in heaven than you have here on earth." And that's exactly what Dad would say. He would always look in the paper to see who made it there first. And, also to be sure he wasn't in it.
Yep.
That's what he used to say. Well, I'm not in the obituaries. I guess I'm doing all right today. He was right about that. It happens gradually. But it happens in vet. I don't know if I'm laughing or thinking about Dad passing away last year.
Yeah.
Let me start over. He was right about that. It happens gradually, but it happens inevitably as we age. The longer we live, the more our loved ones precede us to eternity.
Mm.
Thankfully, we have confidence that our loved ones who died in Christ are all in heaven. We will join them soon.
Nice.
So that is tough here. As we're watching the graphics change on the screen there, we look at number four.
Our resources are in heaven.
Aha.
Fourth is our resources. The Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you," in 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4. When you become a Christian, God becomes your father and makes you an heir. That means you have an inheritance in Christ that will never be touched by inflation. It won't be lost in an economic crash. Its value will never decline or decrease. And it's both reserved and preserved for you. Your name is on it.
Mm.
Those eternal resources include the rewards we will receive. We will receive from Christ. Jesus told his followers during the time of persecution, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Matthew 5:12.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Right on the screen there. Rejoice and be glad in it. Our residence is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven is also precious to us because our residence is there. I'm not just talking about where we will live. I'm talking about our citizenship. When we become Christians, we become residents of heaven. Quote, "Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we all eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Philippians 3:20. When you apply for a passport, you have to state where you were born, where you currently live, your birth date, and so forth, right? If approved, the government issues you a passport to let other governments know you are a citizen of the United States, Germany, Mexico, wherever. Dr. Jeremiah was born in Toledo, Ohio, he says, and he lives in San Diego, California. So he has a United States passport, as do I and my wife. But my real residence is in heaven. We are citizens of that land, and we're currently on earth as ambassadors. As believers in Jesus, we are not citizens on earth who are going to heaven. We are citizens of heaven who are traveling through earth.
Wow. Yeah.
Let that reality change the way you live each day. We are citizens of heaven passing through this land. What can we do while we're here? Think of aliens or something, you know, like, hey, yeah. I'm here, peace, I'm here, I am not here to harm you. You know, it is important for us to pass on this good news to you. So as citizens of heaven, we're passing through this earth, hopefully spreading the good news.
And sixth, our riches are in heaven. Heaven is also precious to us because it's where our riches are stored. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Ding, ding.
Matthew 6:19-21.
A lot of good stuff in Matthew. And you know, if you watch the series, The Chosen?
Mm-hmm.
Matthew's a character.
I like that character.
Yeah, it's completely will change your perspective and give you some, it'll enlighten you on some possibilities. Of course, this is not scriptural. A lot of enactments, reenactments are, you know, the creativity comes
take
in.
Take liberties. Mm-hmm.
But Matthew, it was the scribe and the one who was always by Jesus' side, and he was always transcribing things and writing things down, and he was kind of a nervous little character who used to work for the Romans. So it was really interesting to know that perspective. So as I see these Matthew scriptures, I just have a better appreciation for them because I know how perfect he had to be, how succinct he probably reworded this thing 6 times, I bet.
Right.
I bet, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. But in fact, a lot of times he didn't have to rewrite things because he was just taking down Jesus' words.
Yeah.
I think that was probably part of the Sermon on the Mount, wasn't it? For where your treasure is, there were also...
Probably.
I bet Jesus said that on the mount. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt there, but we are looking through Dr. David Jeremiah's book, The Great Disappearance, 31 Ways to be Rapture Ready. And you're on riches?
Yes.
Our riches are in heaven.
For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What a statement. How can we lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven? The only way we can get our treasures from here to there is by investing in God's work.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like what the Ballards
were doing. Exactly what Tim Ballard and his wife were doing and going through. They don't care about their own personal loss. They care more about the children that need to be saved.
Yep.
Everybody should be thinking that way as Christians.
We can't take our money with us to heaven, nor our homes, cars, boats, or articles of clothing.
Right.
But we can take other people with us by investing our lives and resources in the spreading of God's kingdom.
It's the only thing we can take to heaven with us. So, oh my gosh, that is a new perspective.
Yeah.
That's a new perspective because, you know, I actually was in the play in high school.
You can't take it with you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take it with you. And okay, so there is something you can take with you. Other people.
Mm-hmm. The only things going from earth to heaven are human souls and the word of God. So if you're trying to build equity in heaven, invest your time, talents, and treasure in the word of God and the souls of men and women who need the message of Jesus Christ.
All right. Man, what a good way to end here as we get ready to go through the last segment.
Yes.
This is good. Our reservation is in heaven.
Yes, sir.
So this is the chapter, What's Up with Heaven? Okay, so we are going through, how many things were there? Six?
Seven.
Things, number seven. Seven different things about heaven. This was a fun chapter.
Yeah.
All right, let's close it on out here with this last thing about Aileen Prado. Okay, so our reservation is in heaven. Finally, heaven is precious because our reservation is there. In chapter 14, Dr. Jeremiah described the registry in heaven called, remember, the Lamb's Book of Life, in which the names of all who belong to Christ are recorded already. I mean, hold on a minute. That's already written, right?
Yes.
Okay. So we get into predestination there. Is your name written in heaven? Is your name in the book? Do you have a reservation there? Ooh. Almost kind of scary. I know we have our reservation.
Yes.
I'm scared for the people who have not yet called in. Recently, a collection of nearly 400 hotels, and you were going to get that hotel reservation for Oregon Trail Days, right? Back in Nebraska. Recently, a collection of nearly 400 hotels, regional tourism boards, tour operators, and others in the hospitality industry sent a letter to Chuck Sams, the director of the National Park Service, and Deb Haaland, who is the U.S. Department of Interior Secretary. The reason for that letter? Frustration with the National Parks reservation website, recreation.gov.
Hmm.
Did you know that?
Mm-mm.
It's not just the healthcare.gov website that everybody was mad about. It's the recreation.gov website. If you need a website, you need to give us a call. Don't be getting it from government. For many...
Dadgum government.
Dadgum government. So go to halemultimedia.com for our website, okay? For many years, tourists from all across America have seethed when trying to reserve camping sites or hotel accommodations at Yellowstone, Yosemite, Great Smoky Mountains National Park, you know, and I'm sure, you know, in Scott's Bluff and Gearing, and more than 4,200 other federally managed properties. The main issue seems to be the reservation system, which allows would-be visitors to book only between 30 and 60 days prior to a visit. A window that manages to thwart people who plan ahead and those who live spontaneously. You have to meet this little window between 30 and 60 days. How ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
So let's build an app to help remind people between 30 and 60 days of their vacation to book their reservation with the Park Service. No, okay, anyway. So, Aileen Prado is one of those would-be visitors. She spent months logging on to recreation.gov in an effort to secure lodging for her family summer vacation at Glacier National Park. There were never any reservations available, and I was always told to check back again. But when? How is everything booked already? It's strange to think about gaining access to a national park as being more difficult than gaining access to heaven, but that is the case. Did you know that? Did you know that out there?
Yep.
I know you know that.
Yep.
It is easier to get into heaven than it is to get into the Park Service. Just like it's easier to get across the southern border than it was to get into our super secure election.
Yeah.
Faith in Jesus is all that's required to secure your reservation for eternal salvation. That's the good news. See, we always talk about the good news, and we even have Bibles called the good news, right? And people, you know, these religious people talk about spreading the good news.
Yes.
Almost like it's some sort of cliche. But here's the good news. This simple thing is that faith in Jesus is all that's required to secure your reservation for eternal salvation. Period. Mm-hmm. You want a permanent reservation you don't have to call in and wait on hold for? Hello? We're waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting for you tonight. Mm-hmm. If you're reading these words and aren't sure your reservation is secure, I urge you to pray right now. Here we go. Confess your sins. Acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Do that right now. Turn your life over to His control, not the government or some mandate.
Mm-hmm.
Accept God's free gift and free offer for eternal life tonight. Lord, we confess our sins, we acknowledge that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and we pray for all those within my listening voice and our wives' prayers. Lord, I love you together, my wife and I, just pray for those around us and listening, and we just give it all to you. We ask that they, anyone listening that needs to do this, put your trust in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, as we have, and turn your life over to His control. We know we're not perfect. We're not better than anyone. We're just admitting that we already know we are sinners, and we have accepted His free gift, His free offer for eternal life. So if you want to do the same, do that now. And thank you, Dr. Jeremiah, for your words here in chapter 17 of What's Up with Heaven in your book. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Well done, good and faithful servant.
Enter into the joy of your master, says Matthew in 25:23. You can have the joy if you obey.
Yeah. Join us in heaven.
Yes, and we don't know when it's going to come. So in this case, we're not end times preachers or leaders, but we are telling you that we know that it's going to be sooner in the future than it has been in the past. So we know it hasn't happened yet. So we know we're getting 1 minute closer with every minute that surpasses. He promised He will come like a thief in the night, and you won't have any pre-warning. It will just happen. So please be ready for the rapture. And if you want to buy Dr. Jeremiah's book, The Great Disappearance, 31 Ways to Be Rapture Ready, tonight was number 17. Mm-hmm. We hope we were able to lift up your day with this reading. And we ask you to join us again next week as we read chapter 18. And you'll have to just stay tuned to find out what that is, unless I peek. Do you want me to peek?
You could peek.
Okay, the consensus is peek. And we've passed chapter 17. Mindful of heaven next week. So we found out what is heaven, what up with heaven tonight. Next week, it's Mindful of Heaven, chapter 18. Please join us on diggingdeeper.net for this episode and more, on diggingdeepertv.com to watch this episode, and may God bless you tonight. Thanks for joining us.
Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus.
And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Then the God of peace will be with you.